This is Billy Brim, the voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast, coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks, here near Branson, Missouri. And we've had our special guests, David Manuel and Shelley, and they've been talking about, you know, David Manuel wrote with Peter Marshall, The Light and the Glory, the book which in the 70s so turned people in this nation to look at their roots, their biblical roots. Now, David's not with us today, but I want to go on because we're approaching our country's 234th birthday. July the 4th will be the 234th anniversary of the United States of America being officially born onto this planet July 4th, 1776, according to the plans and purposes of God. Did he have a plan and a purpose for this nation? Does he still have it? Yes, praise the Lord. Now, the Lord's hand is involved in the establishment of nations. And we can know that from Acts chapter 17. If you want to get your Bible and turn there, I'll tell you how I came into this knowledge in the first place. I was in Nantahala, Alabama. And I'd been invited there to speak at a church and to stay in the home of a lovely, gracious lady, Frances Tutt. Frances is a Southern belle, and her home is just the seat of Southern hospitality, and she'd made a little prophet's quarters upstairs. And when I got in rather late that day, because it's a long ride from the nearest airport, she had a little room fixed in a bed and a lamp, and on the bedside table was a Bible. Well, rather than unpack my own Bible to read a little something before I went to sleep, I just picked up the one that she had there, and I did what my friend Lynn Hammond calls a flop and stop. And that day, it flopped open and stopped at Acts chapter 17. Now, this is not the normal way I read the Bible, but occasionally, it works. So that day, I've had it work twice in my life. So it's not something you can see that I do every single day and have the anointing of God on it, but this was. So in Acts chapter 17 and verse 15, we see that those who were with him and they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. The 22nd verse says, Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill. Now, I've been to Athens, and the Greek cities are down below, and then there's a flat tabletop mountain, and that tabletop mountain, the Acropolis, is where the gods are supposed to live. So up on that mountain, they've built temples, and the temples, you know, the Parthenon, other temples of Zeus and temples of this in Athena, whatever, wherever the city is, you go up to the top there and there you see the city of the gods. So Paul is up there in Mars Hill and he says to the people there, You men of Athens, verse 22, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. Now, right at this point, the Lord stopped me. He interrupted my Bible reading and he said, I want you to particularly note how I had Paul declare me to pagans, to people who believed in idols and were so concerned. He didn't say this, but I'm saying it right now. They were so concerned that they might miss a god that they even made an altar to the god they didn't know. But what God said to me was, I want you to pay particular note to how I had Apostle Paul declare me to pagans, to men who did not know, who knew nothing of me. So the first thing Paul did was declare him as, in verse 24, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwells not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the boundaries of their habitation. Here is God's manifestation or manifesto to the pagan world that he made things, he made the earth, and he determined when nations would come forth. So we see here, I'm going to read you that 26th verse in the Amplified Bible. And he made from one common origin, one source, one blood, all nations of men to settle on the face of the earth, having definitely determined their allotted periods of time and the fixed boundaries of their habitation, their settlements, lands, and abodes. So the Lord does this with nations. He did it with the United States of America. And you know, counting that there's been 6 days since Adam, 1,000 years being a day, as Moses was told up on the mountain, it's the last half of the 6th day in history since Adam that God brings forth the United States of America upon the earth. It was in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue at the direction of God. The pilgrims came at the direction of God. The Puritans were raised up at the direction of God. And the United States of America knew a great awakening. Those 13 colonies that were so separated, those 13 colonies were united not by politicians, but by men of God. One of the key men of God that God used was George Whitefield, who rode the length and breadth of those colonies on a horse and traveled by canoe, and they were all united in a great move and outpouring of God that has come to be called the Great Awakening. I'm going on a tour, not taking a tour, but going on a tour, which begins Friday, June 25th. It's led by David Bartlett, a historian of our country. It's one busload of people, and there are other historians who are helping him guide the group. And we're going to go to Boston, Philadelphia, New York, and Washington, D.C., where we are going to observe the spots of our nation's founding history, with special emphasis on the First Great Awakening, out of which the United States of America was born. A Harvard professor in one of his lectures said, "You cannot understand the colonists who brought forth the Declaration of Independence without understanding and studying the Great Awakening." So the tour that I'm going on is called the Great Awakening Tour, studying the First Great Awakening and praying for the next Great Awakening. I want you to help me pray, help us pray in a special prayer project that God has given us for our nation and given us for our president. And I'll talk to you more about it. But right now, we're going to lay a biblical groundwork. We're going to be praying, and we are praying at Prayer Mountain specifically because God told us to, for our president to be visited by God this summer with an eye toward his awakening to God and declaring it openly. We do see that God has to do with the birth of nations and with the sustenance of nations. He's always done this. The Old Testament reveals in Deuteronomy chapter 32, which is a poem, a poetic, prophetic poem that gives history, the history, past, present, and future of Israel. And in Deuteronomy 32, Moses speaking, verse 8, he writes under the utterance of God, "When the Most High gave to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the children of men, he set the boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the Israelites. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob, Israel, is the lot of his inheritance." Does God have to do with the founding of nations? He certainly had to do with the founding of Israel. and when he founded it, but his emphasis here in 32:8 is the nation's boundaries. When he gave the nations their boundaries, when he separated the children of men, even there was a great divide in the continents, he set the boundaries of the nations according to the number of the Israelites. His plan was for Israel to reveal God to the nations. And Israel was offered an earthly kingdom, which Jesus presented to them. When they refused that kingdom, it went into abeyance. But it will come back in the millennium. It will be such, it will be thus and so, according to Isaiah chapter 2, Isaiah chapter 66, many, many other chapters, Ezekiel 47. It will be Zechariah 12 and 14. It will be that Jerusalem will be the capital of the world in the millennial age. It won't be Washington, D.C. It won't be Brussels. It will be Jerusalem. And this has always been his plan ever since. Deuteronomy 32:8 tells us about it. When he set the boundaries of the nations, he did it according to the number of the Israelites. For the Lord's portion is people. Jacob's lot is the lot of his inheritance. And that little land of Israel, which is a land bridge between three continents, he made it to be what the Old Testament calls the navel of the earth, Jerusalem. And so God has something to do with the nations, but they have a relationship with Israel. He situated them and he situated Israel according to his great plans for the future. Folks, we're nowhere near seeing the end of God's plans. We're about to see the beginnings of so many marvelous and wonderful things. The United States of America was brought on the scene at exactly the right time. I believe that another nation I go to and have a lot of affinity for and see God's hand upon it is a nation which is called the uttermost part of the earth, Australia. They too did not come forth and into being until the last half of the last day. And so I'm going to tell you tomorrow about our prayer for the president and our prayer for the safety of our nation, especially during this holiday season that's coming up. And I want you to join me. Now, of course, this week we are offering David Manuel and Peter Marshall's revision of The Light and the Glory. We will make that available to you for $20 a book. And it has been revised. He's added, it was written 30 years after the first one. So a lot of history has come to light. It will thrill you reading about our country. So just call us at 1-800-972-3447. That's 1-800-972-3447. And you might want to go on billybrim.org, billybrim.org, and listen to our archived prayer meeting that we had at Prayer Mountain on the Ozarks Wednesday, June 23rd, because there I went into this prayer burden that God has given us for our president and went into the things we're sharing with you right now. This is Billy Brim saying shalom, actually until tomorrow.